The Ben Show is sponsored by Blue Energy Nation, bringing energy know-how to the next generation of Americans. Learn more at blueenergynation.org.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to The Ben Show. And today we are going to be talking about pipelines.
So yeah, pipelines have a really interesting story. And we wanted to start off how people are able to get their oil to gasoline into their cars. And so the oil that fuels your car at the gas station has a really fascinating journey from its origin to the pump. And so we're going to break down how it typically travels. So first is oil extraction. And the journey begins with oil extraction from underground reservoirs. These reservoirs can be located on land or offshore, deep beneath the Earth's surface. Exploration and drilling activities identify and access these oil reserves. Once it's extracted, the crude oil is transported to refineries via various means. Pipelines play a significant role in this transportation process, especially for long-distance routes. Oil can be transported by tanker ships, trucks, or trains, depending on the location of the reservoirs and the proximity to the refineries. So at the refinery, crude oil undergoes a complex refining process, and this process involves separating the oil into different components, such as gasoline, diesel, jet fuel, and various petrochemicals. Each component requires specific refining techniques to meet the quality standards. Next, after refining, the gasoline, which is one of the products derived from the crude oil, is distributed to gas stations. And this distribution is typically done via tanker trucks that deliver the gasoline to local gas stations in various regions. So when you pull up to the gas station, the gasoline in the pump storage tanks comes from regional distribution centers. These centers receive regular deliveries of gasoline from refineries or storage terminals. And when you insert the pump nozzle into your car's fuel tank and start pumping, the gasoline travels through the nozzle, through the fuel lines of your car, and into the fuel tank. And from there, it mixes with air and is ignited by the engine to power your vehicle. So the oil that fuels your car's journey starts deep underground, travels through pipelines, other transportation methods to refineries, undergoes refining processes, and then is distributed to gas tanks, and finally ends up in your fuel tank to power your travels. So let's break down the process and explain a little bit of what pipelines are. So pipes are heavy-duty steel tubes that form the backbone of the pipeline system. They're designed to withstand high pressure and are coated with anti-corrosion materials to protect against environmental factors. So pumping stations are stations that house powerful pumps that maintain the flow of oil or gas at high pressures. They are strategically located along the pipeline route to overcome friction and maintain flow velocity. Valves are crucial for controlling the flow of oil or gas. They isolate sections for maintenance, regulate flow rates, monitoring systems, or supervisory control and data acquisition, also known as SCADA systems, continuously monitor the pipeline's pressure, temperature, and flow rate. Leak detection systems, such as fiber optic cables or acoustic sensors, are used to detect potential issues early. So there are various types of pipelines. There's gathering lines, which are smaller pipelines that collect oil or gas from individual wells and transport them to processing facilities or larger transmission lines. The transmission lines are long-distance pipelines that connect product areas to refineries, storage terminals, or distribution points. They have larger diameters and higher pressure capabilities. The distribution lines is the final stage that delivers refined products like gasoline or natural gas to local distribution companies and end users. So now we're going to discuss the flow of energy and how pipelines work. So there's oil pipelines where crude oil requires significant pressure to flow over long distances, and pumping stations along the route maintain consistent flow velocity. In some cases, heating systems are used to reduce the oil's viscosity and improve flow. Then there's natural gas pipelines, and natural gas, being lighter than oil, still requires pressurization to maintain flow. And compressor stations compress the gas to ensure efficient transport over long distances. So throughout all this, they have to make sure everything stays safe. So pipeline routes can carefully be chosen to minimize environmental impact and avoid densely populated areas. Regular inspections often use tools like ultrasonic pigs, which are also known as smart pigs, which are specialized tools that are used to inspect the internal surfaces of pipelines. The term pig comes from the early days of pipeline inspection, where pipelines were cleaned by sending a scraper known as the pig through the pipeline to remove any debris. These tools ensure the structural integrity of the pipeline. Emergency response plans are also put in place to address leaks or ruptures promptly. While the primary function of pipelines is to transport oil, gas, and other petroleum products efficiently, there are initiatives and technologies aimed at making pipelines more environmentally friendly. Some eco-friendly focus types of pipelines or related developments can be carbon capture and storage pipelines, which are CCS pipelines that are designed to capture carbon dioxide or CO2 emissions from industrial processes or power plants and transport them to underground storage sites where they can be permanently stored, which will reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And these pipelines contribute to mitigating climate change by capturing the sequestering CO2 that would otherwise be released into the atmosphere. There are also hydrogen pipelines, and as the focus on clean energy grows, hydrogen pipelines are becoming more and more relevant. These pipelines transport hydrogen, a clean burning fuel, to various end users such as power plants, industrial facilities, and transportation infrastructure. Hydrogen pipelines support the transition to low carbon and renewable energy sources. Biogas pipelines transport renewable natural gas, RNG, or biogas derived from organic waste sources such as landfills, wastewater treatment plants, and agricultural residues. Biogas is a renewable and sustainable energy source that can be used for heating, electricity generation, and as a transportation fuel, reducing reliance on fossil fuels and mitigating methane emissions from waste. So, what are smart pipeline technologies? Well, advanced monitoring and control technologies such as leak detection systems, pipeline integrity sensors, and automated valve systems help minimize environmental impacts by quickly detecting and addressing leaks or operational anomalies. These techniques enhance safety and environmental protection along pipeline networks. So, pipeline operators implement various measures to mitigate environmental impacts during pipeline construction, operation, and maintenance. And these measures include route selection to avoid sensitive ecosystems, erosion and sediment control, wildlife protection programs, and spill response plans. Some pipelines are designed to transport renewable energy sources such as biofuels, such as ethanol or biodiesel, or other synthetic fuels derived from renewable energy sources. These pipelines contribute to reducing greenhouse gas emissions by promoting sustainable energy systems. While pipelines are primarily associated with fossil fuel transportation, advancements in technology and growing focus on sustainability are driving the development of eco-friendly pipeline solutions to support a cleaner and more sustainable energy future. Pipelines form a complex global network that connect regions with abundant resources to higher areas of demand. Major networks exist in various regions, influencing energy security, trade, and geopolitics. As the world shifts towards cleaner energy sources, the role of oil and gas pipelines may evolve, and natural gas pipelines in particular could play a crucial role in transitioning to cleaner fuels like hydrogen. environmental concerns and technological advancements will shape the future of pipeline infrastructure.
Okay, so before I start, I just want to start off by saying that when I refer to crude oil, it's just petroleum. Okay, so like Kennedy said before, the former carries the crude oil to refineries to make gasoline, diesel, you know, stuff like that. And the latter transport refined products like gasoline to the market, like the market being the gas stations or wherever you get your gas. So different grades of the crude oil or the different refined products are usually transported through the same pipeline, but in different batches. The mixing between batches is small and it can be controlled. They either use large batches, which is large columns of the same product or oil, or they can put inflated rubber balls in between the batches to separate them. The crude oil usually contains a small number of additives to reduce the inner corrosion, which is the wearing away of something through chemicals. That could happen to the pipe and decrease the energy loss, also known as the drag reduction. And drag reduction basically causes friction to be reduced and make the oil flow increased. So the most commonly used drag reductor additives are polymers like polyethylene, okay, oxides, which polymers, just to give you a little biology lesson, are basically large molecules chemically linked, a series of building blocks. The building blocks are called monomers. And the oxide is a high molecular weight water-soluble polymer. So it's just soluble in water. Oil pipelines are almost always made out of steel without any lining, but with a coating on the outside of cathodic protection to fight against the corrosion. And the pipes are welded together and bent to the desired shape. So here are some of the pipelines that are built in the U.S. So there's one called the Big Inch and the Little Big Inch. And they were built during World War II to counter the threat of German submarine attacks on the coastal tankers. It's a large product pipeline from Houston, Texas to Linden, New Jersey. And it was built by the Colonial Pipeline Company in the 1960s to counter the strike of the Maritime Union. And then there's also the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, which was built to bring crude oil from the North Slope to the Prudhoe Bay. And then I want to get into the offshore or submarine pipelines. So unlike their simpler onshore cousins, offshore pipelines play a vital role in the oil and gas industry. These underwater highways transport extracted oil and natural gas from offshore wells to the mainland. So from there's the journey onto the refineries, while the gas heads to the processing plants for further refinement. However, building these pipelines is a challenging feat, often costing more than onshore construction due to the complexities of working underwater. So how do offshore pipelines work? So offshore pipelines are the underwater arteries that carry the lifeblood of the oil and gas industry, crude oil and natural gas from offshore wells to processing facilities on land. So here's a little breakdown how they work. So first is the pipe preparation. So the journey begins on land, where massive steel pipes are coated with special materials to withstand the harsh underwater environment, including corrosion from salt water and resistance to damage from the marine life. So next is the transportation and assembly. So these giant pipes are then loaded onto specially designed pipe laying vessels. On board these vessels, individual pipes are meticulously welded together to create long sections. So next is laying the pipeline. So the pipe laying vessel uses a complex system, often involving a long arm called a stinger, to carefully lower the assembled pipeline section down to the seabed. Throughout this process, tension is meticulously controlled to ensure that the pipeline doesn't buckle or bend too much during the descent. And next is the seabed trenching, which is optional. So in some cases, the pipeline might need additional protection. Specially designed trenching machines can carve a path along the seabed, allowing the pipeline to be lowered and then buried for increased security from environmental factors like current anchors or fishing gear, stuff like that. So next is monitoring and maintenance. So once the pipe has been laid, sophisticated monitoring systems constantly track the pipeline's health, checking for leaks, pressure changes, or any movement that could signal damage. Regular maintenance is also crucial, with specialized underwater vehicles deployed to inspect the pipeline and perform repairs if necessary. So here are some challenges. So building and maintaining offshore pipelines is a complex and expensive undertaking. Factors like water depth, currents, and weather can all add difficulty to the process. Environmental considerations also play a big role, ensuring minimal disruption to the marine ecosystems. So it's relatively safe compared to transporting oil by truck or rail. Pipelines are considered a safer option statistically. However, leaks and spills can still occur, causing environmental damage. So, like Kennedy said before, the environmental impact, pipeline construction can disrupt ecosystems and displace wildlife, and leaks can contaminate soil and water sources. But overall, oil pipelines are a vital part of the oil and gas industry, but their construction and operation can also come with environmental considerations. So here are a couple of things that can cause confusion around oil pipelines. So the capacity versus the utilization. So pipeline capacity refers to the maximum amount of oil it can theoretically transport each day. And utilization is the actual amount of oil being transported, which can be lower than capacity. This can be a point of contention in pipeline debates, with some arguing there's not enough demand to justify a new pipeline. And then there's regulation and permitting. So the process for approving and regulating pipelines can be complex, with multiple federal agencies and state local entities involved. This can lead to confusion about who's responsible for the oversight and the permitting of the pipelines. Next, there, route and purpose. So pipelines can be controversial depending on the route they take and the type of oil they transport. So some pipelines, like the Keystone XL, were designed to move long distances across international borders, raising questions about economic benefit versus environmental impact. So here's a little fun fact about oil pipelines. So if you could string together all of the oil and gas pipelines in the United States alone, they could reach from the Earth to the moon and back nearly 3 times. So that's a lot of pipe.
That's crazy. Yeah.
So I know this was a lot of information, a lot of it. But just to give you a little recap, oil pipelines transport crude oil and refined products such as gasoline. Natural gas pipelines are the most common way to transport natural gas over long distances. There are some safety concerns that there are major safety concerns, and there are many measures taken to prevent leaks and ruptures. And last but not least, there's a lot of pipes, because there's a lot of oil that needs to be transported to different places. So, yeah.
That's all for today, guys. We really hope you enjoyed learning about pipelines. Yeah.
There's a lot of information that, you know, I didn't know until, like, I didn't know the pipelines go, like, all the way down to the seashore. Like, mm-hmm. Obviously, it's probably not to the furthest, deepest part of the ocean, but it's pretty far down. And I don't know, just the amount of pipe that's under us right now is also crazy to me, but yeah.
Yeah, to me, I find it interesting, like, how long does it take for them to realize, like, there's a leak?
Yeah. Like, how much oil do they have to lose before they figure it out.
They realize.
And also, I would hate to be called a pig to go fix the pipes.
To fix the pipes.
I would hate to be called that. But
yeah.
I don't know. Like, is this like a dangerous job? Like, how far down are the pipes in the ground to where it's like it's harmful for the person fixing it? I don't know. Maybe they get paid a lot of money because the job is pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
Anyways. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and don't forget to go check out our latest episodes. And yeah, make sure you tune in next time for The Binge Show.
Make sure you leave a review in the link down below that we will provide. And, you know, say how you enjoy it, what information you would love to hear.
Feedback. And once again, thank you, Blue Energy Nation, for sponsoring this episode. Bye, y'all.
Bye.